we've enabled as part of this effort on the next slide. What we were looking to do with this JSR, which has now been finalized and implemented as JCP version 2.10, is to eliminate existing barriers for different groups to participate in the JCP standardization efforts, including introducing new membership levels, eliminating all membership fees, adding the electronic signature capability, adding contributors for JSR expert groups in addition to expert group members, and adding associate seats on the JCP Executive Committee. So on the next slide, I went into a little bit more detail about this on slide 5. So our goal here was to encourage more individuals and organizations to join and participate while ensuring that we have appropriate IT commitments from all members. So we started this as a working group looking at individuals and organizations specifically. And we decided to introduce a new membership class, which we're calling the Associate Membership Class, for individuals, and this includes a much simpler membership agreement than the JSPA, so that was definitely a barrier, the complexity. No lawyers and no employer approval required in an exhibit, so no signature from employers necessary, and then enabling those associate members to be able to be formally recognized as contributors on a JSR, because that was something that was important to people who are interested in participating and giving their time to standardization efforts. And we also introduced for Java user groups a membership class for them. We're calling that the partner membership class. So that's specifically for Java user groups. A simpler agreement again, electronic submission and signing of those agreements. And we decided as well, no more membership fees, which was a small fee in the past, $5,000 per year, but that did proved to be a barrier for especially some of the smaller sized corporations that were interested in participating and joining the JCP. So this is final now. It's been implemented last month on JCP.org. We already have many new members who have joined, but we definitely are interested in getting even more members to participate and sign up leading up to our 2016 elections in November this year. They will start November 1st. On the next slide, these are the memberships. In summary, now we used to have just a full membership. We now have three membership levels, so associate membership, partner membership, and full membership. So the full membership will continue and have the benefits that existed previously, serving on expert groups, leading JSRs, serving on the executive committee, and voting in the executive committee election. Okay, so we'll go into a little bit more detail for each one. So a few more slides here on slide 7. So now we'll just look at each of these individual classes. So for individuals specifically, if you're an individual Java developer or a member of a Java user group, you can join as an associate member. Again, you don't have to get your employer to sign any exhibits, and you can be formally recognized on JSR experts, on JSRs as contributors. And you will be able to vote in the executive committee elections that happen every fall. And we've dedicated 2 seats on the executive committee especially to serve your needs. So those will be 2 associate seats on the existing executive committee that associate members only will vote for. Right? And that if you are an individual, this is a question that's often come up. Can I still join as a full member? Yes, you can. You can still join as a full member if you're employed, but you must have your employer sign. So we have the employer contribution agreement. And this, you can ask your employer to sign that, but a better approach and what we suggest is that you actually ask your employer to join the JCP as an organization. That way, any employee in the organization can serve on expert groups and represent the employer on an expert group. But, of course, we have mechanisms for being able to allow the employer to decide which employees will participate on the expert groups and be able to nominate themselves and have a count. And, again, no fees for that. So, and then, of course, as an individual, also, you can sign the JSPA in your own right. And this is a complicated legal agreement, and we have a flowchart available on JCP.org, so you can kind of decide what if that suits your needs or not. Okay, on slide 8, we'll now look at the case of Java user groups. So before we had JCP version 2.10, we had Java user groups go ahead and sign the full JSPA because we only had one membership agreement. So we've introduced the partner membership agreements for Java user groups. However, if the Nevada User Group is a legal entity, you can go ahead and join as a full member of the Java User Group. Because it makes more sense, since really the JSTA is a legal agreement, it doesn't really make sense for someone who's not an organization, a meetup group, to sign the JSTA, and that actually has been a barrier for some time that many Java User Groups just don't feel comfortable signing a legal agreement when, you know, it really just doesn't make sense to apply to some of the things that they're doing. So the partner membership is very simple, no IP commitments involved, and Java User Group members who wish to contribute should individually join as associate or full members. So the last case on slide 9, we have the organization. So some of the things that we did for organizations was we removed the membership fee. So the agreement is still the same. It's the JSTA. Sign the agreement, and then members of that organization can participate in the JSR Expert Group GCP activities as representatives of that organization. So that remains the same. That agreement didn't change. So the only change there is no fees, permanently waived, and then the electronic signature, which of course makes things easier for everyone. Okay, slide 10. So I think mentioned this several times. No longer need to print out and physically sign or scan if you know it's all done electronically, almost instantly online. So I encourage you to check that out. On slide 11, I started with just a few pointers for you of how you get started. This is all available on teachers.org, and the link I have a couple slides later. You can actually find this, but these are some of the key graphics, because even though it's really three memberships, it's not that complicated. We have got questions, so we have this chart available in terms of what are the benefits and which type of membership can do each activity. So different things like participating on expert groups, serving as a contributor, serving on the executive committee, voting for which seat. This is all detailed in the participation chart, and this is available on jcp.org under the Becoming a Member section. So I encourage you to take a look at that. We also have a couple of other tools. So on slide 12, I have a screenshot for you of the flow chart. So if you look at the chart and you're not sure what to do, what we actually created in the expert group for JSR 364, thanks primarily to John Weir for driving this from Goldman Sachs, a flow chart, which we created. So can go ahead and answer the question. This is particularly a little bit complex when you're an individual. Which membership makes sense for you? Should you sign up for an associate membership? Should you get the full membership? Should you participate through your employer? It's all covered in the flowchart, which is available on jcp.org in the membership section. It's also clickable on there, so you can go to the different agreements. And on slide 13, specifically a chart for members. So the previous chart lists what you do if you're not going to join the JCP, how you can still participate, because due to the earlier changes we made as part of JCP.next, everything's open and available and not out in the public. We have public discussions, public issue trackers, so there's many things that you can actually do without being a member, but there's specific privileges that you gain as part of being an actual member of the JCP, whether you're an associate member, a full member, or a partner member, and we've listed this out here on the chart on slide 13, and this also is available on jcp.org to hopefully make things a little bit simpler for you. So, as we mentioned in the beginning of the call on slide 14, we're really encouraging more people to join. We definitely want to have a critical mass of members prior.
that, and then you can send the comments if I miss anything, corrections or whatever. And between us, hopefully, we can put together a comprehensive set of minutes. So let's move on to another topic that I know people want to discuss, which is Reza, maybe you want to take the lead here. You want to start us off?
Yes, please. I don't mind doing that at all. But first of all, I'd like to note that all of us, a bunch of us, in fact, have noted the Berlin meeting minutes and what transpired there. And I would like to congratulate the EC members, the Oracle, in being vigilant and in bringing these issues into the EC and vocalizing it in the way that it was. I can tell you it was appreciated by many folks, so thank you for doing that. So back to summarizing, what the issue is and, my particular input into it. So for months now, there's been a very troubling activity with Oracle JSR leads on Java EA JSR. The problem with this is one, extremely important to the industry, Java EA JSRs. Number two, if JSRs are not happening, it begs the question then, well, what is the relevance of the JCP anymore? Because this is the majority of the active JCP JSRs. And I can tell you there's a lot of people that are watching this very closely and are very concerned about it. In fact, after leaving Oracle, I have formed a group of individuals and organizations that are concerned about this very issue. And they want to see this issue resolved. They're raising awareness around the issue of Oracle inactivity in Java EA JSRs. We're trying to do our best from the community end to resolve it, to keep these Java EA JSRs moving forward. And we're also seeking cooperation from Oracle as a responsible and community-focused steward for Java generally and Java EA. I can tell you right now in our group, we have a number of Java user groups around the world. We have a number of Java champions, Java leaders, technical luminaries, including Dr. James Gosling, that are explicitly, we're joined together in trying to understand how do we solve the problem. And in fact, we launched a public petition on change.org about 4 days ago, so far at 700 plus signatures. Again, from developers across the globe, asking Oracle, three specific questions. What is it that Oracle wants to do in order to safeguard the well-being of the Java ecosystem and Java EE ecosystem? Can Oracle commit to delivering Java EE in time with a reasonable feature set that would satisfy the needs of the community and the industry? And will Oracle cooperate with others to either allow us to contribute or perhaps to switch ownership of Java EA JSRs? So I think that is all that I have to say. I appreciate the time to allow us to give you input. I hope that EC continues to work on this, and I hope that Oracle will work with us in a constructive way.
Okay, anybody else want to jump in? review, you basically, every other EHSR is likely to face a renewal ballot starting around early October, and the majority of them would actually face renewal ballot in late November. So, regarding the reasonable time to respond, maybe that should also be mentioned or taken into consideration.
Okay, good point. For those who are online,
especially because, as we just saw, there may be other members in the EC actually deciding over the fate of Java EE, depending on how the next election goes and who decides to run.
I'm just going to pull up the process document. You can't get to.
given that the Java.net is being sunsetted, what is the plan going forward for the content?
Yeah.
for all of the projects made available such that if somebody wants to make the effort to take that material and move it somewhere else, even if only for archival purposes, even if there's no intention of actually continuing to modify it and to kind of move forward, will people be permitted to do so?
If they're not the project owner. Yeah.
Sorry?
I'm sure you're going to have to get permission from the project owner, but you're talking about abandoned cases, so I'll follow up and find out what's the process for abandoned projects. And if that differs for JSRS versus other projects, because as you mentioned, there's many things on there that have nothing to do with JSRS. Starting with JCP 2.8, that we require them to have a public site contracted. So them because most of them didn't used to use that payment as a JSR. It's only when I asked people to start doing that, and it was a requirement of JCP 2.8 that people started to do that. But even now, most people don't put JSR in their name. But I've already been tracking all of that.
All right, I just want to make the point. This is not history of the JCP, and we must not let it get erased. That would be a great shame.
And so, before we finish here, Patrick, I would just like to pose a question, you know, actually to the entire EC, and I hope there is a response. You know, and there's a lot of us, as I mentioned, you know, that are concerned about the situation with Java EE. What do you recommend we do? We can't simply fold our hands and say, you know, Oracle can do whatever it wishes. You know, clearly we are also stakeholders. You know, that's why Java EE and Java in general is not a product. It's an open standard. You know, what should we be doing differently than that we have not done already? How can this problem be solved? What is your recommendation? I understand nobody has a silver, but what do you recommend we do?
No, you're not going to get official response to that. You will forever, because you are employed by Oracle. We have two other EC members who wish to speak up if they have any suggestions.
So it's Matt Hain here from the London Java community. I think there's a group of the larger vendors in particular who are exploring the idea of taking care of some of the heavy lifting. I appreciate that the Java community in terms of the developer community is very large and diverse. Most of those individual community members have their own 9-to-5 day jobs, as it were, and I would say it is unlikely that, you know, that the Java developer community at large could take over the serious work of pushing out TCK outright. So I think those vendors are currently discussing it amongst themselves. I believe they're hoping to make some sort of a public statement towards the end of this month, or early July, and I suspect at that stage there will be an organisation, as it were, to join there in terms of actually pushing ahead with some of the work and see where it goes from there. But I suspect all the work from that organisation will be done out in the open. So I suspect people could then directly contribute to that point.
public in a page.
Recorded, and we'll get that fixed.